When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo!
You hear the sound of those sirens, that can only mean one thing. Thank you for listening to another edition of the Outsider's Edge podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network. This is your boy, Mr. Kyle Moores. I am joined, as always, by the Kenny to my Coda, Mr. Rance Moores. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. It's a good week. It's fun. You know, it's cold as hell, but such is life. But it's Rumble season. And as
it
such,
it is Rumble season. And, you know, because it's Rumble season, like, we had to, like, dip into the bag. And, you know, for those of you that are not longtime listeners, this used to be a three-man show. And believe it or not, Brother Carl is still alive.
Damn, you said it too flat so fast. I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, Caleb. If you're listening, hi, Caleb.
Who? I don't know who that is. Nah,
hey,
surprise
returns in the Rumble, surprise returns in the Edge. It's Carl's alive. Yeah, like you said, Carl's alive. Like, I'm sure people are like, oh, that guy?
Hi, Carl. We love you. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? Thanks for the invite, I suppose. It was very last minute, and how about that? I actually showed up when it was last minute. So
that's why I asked you last minute, because if I would ask you a week ahead of time, you'd be like, I don't know.
No, that's a lie. No, that's a lie. If you'd have asked him a week ahead of time, he'd have said he was coming. And then about an hour ago, he'd have been like, oh, sorry, can't tonight, y'all.
Y'all caught me on a good day. I guess Wednesday was just in the cards. I ain't got shit going on. So
you mean you aren't actively watching Root Beer right now?
You know what? Maybe one day, pals. That's one thing that has not changed is that. So.
Real quick before we get into what we're doing, first and foremost, I always like to catch people up on you because me and Kyle are interested, but you seem to be the most interesting of the three. What have you been up to, if you're willing to speak on it? How have you been? And more importantly, I know the Rumble is your favorite pay-per-view, is your favorite show. So talk to me a little bit about your excitement for the Rumble, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no, that's cool. What have I been up to? Well, I've got two kids and they play basketball right now. So I've got a lot of that going on, trying to work with them on that. What else have I been up to? working from home still. I've had COVID now once. So, you know, just nothing crazy. I'm fully vaccinated and boosted, so it was pretty mild. No big deal there. I have what you would call a weakened immune system, though. So, like, my symptoms just lasted a little bit longer. Like, it was pretty much the same stuff, but, like, you know, I'm glad I was vaccinated, to put it that way. So, that's about it there.
Don't forget that you've been pitching reliever for the San Diego Dads.
Yeah, I'm wearing a hoodie with the hood on and my San Diego Padres hat on, so I definitely look like I've been sitting in the bullpen just waiting for the call, like you said earlier before we got on. And also, you know, I've been depressed because my Cowboys choked again. What else is new, right? Rance loves it, but that's fine. And such anyways, as far as the Rumble goes, it is my favorite pay-per-view. That is true. I actually had considered going this year, but that didn't pan out. So it's not too far away. It's in St. Louis, which is about 6 hours away, which isn't too bad. But yeah, that was pretty much when you said, hey, we're reviewing the Rumble. I was like, okay, like maybe do that. My interest in wrestling has been very slim lately.
Any reason in particular, or is it just kind of rigmarole, just like things happen?
Well, that is part of it. Me and my kid were watching, and then she's got all her stuff going on, and she hasn't been as interested. And, of course, I have no, like, I don't know. I use social media a lot. I like social media, and I follow a lot of wrestling fans, but I also get on there for like political and sports takes and stuff like that. So I don't really see myself like disengaging from social media. But the problem with that is the negativity and all the bullshit that comes with it. And it's just become like everything about wrestling fans right now is so fucking, I don't know. I don't have a good word, like toxic. I don't know. Not every wrestling fan, obviously. I mean, you guys are wrestling fans. I love you guys to death. But you know what I mean. Like, it's just become this thing where it's like, I can't get on there without seeing some negative shit. And I'm just like, man, it makes me off put from all of it. And then on top of that, it'll be in the topics later, but some of the stuff that some of these companies are doing, like, it's become one of these things where it's like, I am struggling to want to be passionate about something because of the actions of companies. And then you've also got the way people are just so insulting to each other in the fandom now. And it's always been that way, but it just feels like it's worse now for some reason, or maybe I'm more sensitive. I don't know. But that's kind of where I'm at with that. So,
well, I mean, you know, piggybacking off of this idea of like both toxic social media trolls and like companies doing really shitty things and being run by really shitty people. Brother Rance, you wanted to, you know, talk about the Nick Khan interview. What's going on with Mr. Khan?
Yes. So there was an interview that Nick Khan did. He spoke with John Orrend from the Sports Business Journal. And I don't know if this was done in November or if the picture was from November, but that's the date that I see. But there's a couple of things of note from that interview that I think are interesting. He really get kind of put into perspective to a certain extent why some of the things that they've done recently. So first and foremost, he talked about how Vince sees the company. He says, it was once a mom and pop shop. If it was once a mom and pop shop, Vince certainly didn't believe it anymore. He says, part of what I believe he was looking for in bringing someone in from the outside was to make sure the community at large didn't treat it that way, like a mom and pop shop. We believe we're a global content company. And remember, he was the guy that before he got hired as the president and the chief revenue officer, he was the agent that represented them to get their deals from Fox and NBC for SmackDown and Raw. But he said that, let me just read it the way it's written here. It says, Khan noted that during those 2018 negotiations, he was struck by the attitude of some WWE staffers, most of whom were not steeped in the intricacies of media. He said some of them acted as though they were fortunate just to have a seat at the table and were content not to negotiate with executives far down the chain of command. He says Vince believed that WWE was at a place where it had earned a seat at the adult table, but others in the company didn't see it that way. For the company to be treated that way, the way that Vince, Stephanie, Kevin Dunn, and myself and others believed it should be treated in the community, you needed executives who reflected that, who had range, who could get people on the phone and could be taken seriously by their peers. And so that's a big part of the reason why you see that they've completely revamped so many people from a corporate perspective. Also, another thing that he talked about was, he says that they're not actively looking to be sold, which is a lot of people feel like all these deals they're doing are based on them trying to sell the company. But he says they're not actively looking to be sold, but we have taken calls for people who are interested. So if you're interested, we'll always take a call, but that's not the goal here, to sell. The reason I find it interesting is because, kind of inside baseball here, our next topic is Free Ali and the Mustafa Ali situation. And 2021 was a year, and 2020 were years marred extremely heavily by corporate moves that were callous, made no sense, and almost from a fan's perspective, detrimental to the product and the enjoyment of the company. And this interview, very slightly, and the more he's talked, the Ariel Helwani interview is another situation, kind of lays some insight into what his mind is, what his mindset is, and his ideology behind it. I find it so interesting that he says that so many people working there from a corporate perspective, behind the scenes and whatnot, believed that it was still a mom and pop shop and didn't think that they were worthy of the deals that they got and didn't think that they should even be at that table. That's so interesting to me.
I don't think it's as much that the reason that they thought that they weren't worthy of a seat at the table was because they were a mom and pop shop. I think it's more the idea of, you know, what we've always said, wrestling is niche.
Sure.
Wrestling is very niche. Wrestling is carny. And for a very long time, niche, carny ass wrestling didn't have a seat at the table and didn't command attention from anybody other than the underlings. I think it's more a failure of folks to recognize the way that television overall has shifted in such a direction that makes the content that wrestling provides valuable. I mean, to the point where, like, AEW is currently benefiting a lot from the move to TBS just because the Big Bang Theory is a huge lead-in for them. That is a huge audience lead-in for them in a way that whatever the fuck was airing on TNT at 7 o'clock just was not. And so, like, with that, they are consistently drawing around 1 million or over every week. And, like, that makes them valuable to Turner. That makes them very valuable to Turner. Because no other show that they were going to put on in that time slot was getting those numbers. And right. That gets wrestling a seat at the table that wrestling didn't have like 20 years ago. And I think it's more a failure on the part of these people within WWE that he's referring to just recognize, like, hey, TV's not what it used to be.
Well, here's my follow-up real quick, and then both of you can respond if you want. My question and a follow-up actually is, you look at every time WWE in particular, and even AEW to a certain extent, has come to the table to get deals, they have exponentially grown, right? And that's not, the companies necessarily aren't doing better from the metrics we know. Like, they may make more money from a revenue standpoint, but ratings are down, merchandise is down, live event revenue and people are down. So could it possibly be that the people who are in charge of WWE, the wrestling people, you know, because for so long the people in charge of these companies for the overall majority, or who were in positions of power, were former wrestlers or managers or people who have been wrestling people all this time. Could it possibly be that the time has moved on from them being able to be those people, and it needs to be more corporately structured like WWE has made it now? Could that possibly be a thing? Could he be right in his assumption or assertion?
Carl?
Yeah, so, man, it's hard because, like, when I hear everything that Nick Khan says, just me being how I am, all I hear is executive speak. Like, it's sure. very easy. It's very easy to, like, hear these guys say things and then try and take it at face value is very hard, you know. And I think just to kind of, this isn't quite answering your question, the initial question, but just when he says things like, okay, we're not looking to sell, but we've taken calls. I mean, that's, you know, no company, like, sure, some companies are looking to sell, but no companies, a lot of times a company's not going to just come out and say, hey, we're looking to sell. You know what I mean? Like, well, the taking the calls is kind of, I mean, I work for a company right now that's not looking to sell, but if the right buyer came along, he would sell it in a heartbeat. So that's yeah. just, that's that. As far as the older, or some of the staff and stuff that didn't think, you know, they didn't have belong at the table, I can kind of see that, partly because, like Kyle mentioned, not seeing the fact that, you know, the way television has shifted, the product being very niche, like you mentioned. But I think, you know, just in terms of content, I can kind of give them a pass. Like, I don't know how Nick Khan feels about that from a personal standpoint. I can give them a pass because I don't know that anybody really knew that television necessarily was going to become this thing where there would be so many shows, just the volume of television. And a lot of stuff you watch on television, it's almost like they just threw something at the wall to see what would stick. And I think that, you know, that's, if you're a wrestling, like if you've been in wrestling 20, 30, 40 years, like some of these guys have, like, that's not the way they view their own product. They're very passionate about whatever it is that they do. You know, I mean, you're talking, most of these guys have been watching wrestling their entire life. Like, they probably don't want to be even lumped into the category of, oh, well, we're just, you know, content. You know, because if Nick Khan sees him as content, I could see why, like, you can turn a blind eye to that fact, especially, you know, when it comes to making big deals and stuff like that, just because maybe they don't see it the same way. You're talking about real executive who has been involved in, like, major business decisions, as opposed to, like, you know, some guys like you mentioned that have been, literally wrestling is maybe all they know. So there's just that's a general disconnect anyway. And yeah. So I think that's kind of, I mean, a lot of times when you bring in business people into these situations that just know more about just the business aspect of it, a lot of that stuff gets jacked up. Like, people become unhappy, not uncommon, you know? And I just think that, excuse me, guys. I just think that, you know, everything that he says is hard for me to really, like, dig my heels in on, because I just don't, I know that business speak, you know what I mean? And it's just everything that he says doesn't, I take very little of it at face value, just in general, you know?
The one thing I think of, Kyle, when I hear this, is it makes me think that if wrestling people were still in charge the way they had been for however long it had been, then the company's done over the past 2 years, they wouldn't have done. They wouldn't have had these mass releases. They wouldn't have, in the pandemic, been so callous with who they released and how they released them, things of that nature. I also don't think if they were run in the same way they were with just wrestling people, that they'd make the money they've been making. You know, so I, from a fan's perspective, I struggle with where you reconcile that line. You know what I mean?
Well, last time we got together, we talked about synergy. And I think what this really just exemplifies is the lack of synergy between what Nick Khan and the more business-oriented folks within corporate WWE want and what the creative content creating side of the company is doing. And in some ways, you know, in some ways the corporate side has to prevail because this is a business. And so like they're trying to maximize their profit. And so in some ways they have to prevail. However, it is also important, and we don't have the answers as to whether or not this is the case, but it is also important for the content side to like stand up for itself in some of these regards, because at the end of the day, if content is what drives your profit, then you can only fuck with the content for so long before you're going to get diminished returns.
Yeah, so I kind of have like, just in the way I kind of see it, I totally agree with you, Kyle, on that. And, you know, I look at like a guy like, this is a different example, it's a sports example, and something I'm familiar with because we just talked about him losing the playoffs. But I look at someone like Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones, and most people are familiar with him anyway, he's a savviest businessman in the NFL, probably the best owner in terms of turning a profit that the NFL has. You know, but he also does stuff against the grain. Like when the NFL was like, hey, we're getting sponsored by Bud Light, he's like, nope, I'm going with Miller Lite. And they're the only team in the NFL that does that, right? So they get all that Miller Lite pot, whereas the NFL has the contract with Bud Light, right? So he does things, it's very Nick Khan-esque. He does things that might be seen as not good necessarily, but for the bottom line of the Dallas Cowboys, it's great, right? However, he also meddles enough to the point where the product on the field can go 50-50. Like this year, they were pretty good. Last year, they weren't very good. And they go back and forth. And I think you see that when someone like Nick, like there needs to be a separation to some degree. Like Nick Khan can say, okay, these are like KPIs. And if you don't know what KPI means, it just means key performance indicator, right? And then all,
no idea what
yeah, that's all it means. And basically you can create these things that say, okay, this is what we're doing well, what we're doing wrong, yada, yada, yada. And be like, I mean, and so all you really do there is he can say, okay, well, look, this is the money we're making. This is a way we can cut costs, continue making good profits, whatever. If that means cutting big salaries, fine. But the final axes that, you know, that chop the wood have to come from someone else. You know, like you can't, if you're Vince McMahon or you're anybody in that company, you can listen to Nick Khan, of course, but you don't necessarily, if you listen too much, you might end up with a shitty product, you know? And right now you can argue all day how good or bad the product is, you know, but I think the point of the matter really is that the synergy is important, but you also like, you need to be able to understand that, like, I don't know if Nick Khan is from wrestling. I really don't. I mean, maybe he is, maybe he isn't. Okay, he's not, right? So there is a piece of that that, yes, you can trust him as a business savvy person, but at the same time, like you can't just be like, oh yeah, well you're so business. I'm so business savvy, man. Braun Strowman, we should cut his contract. We should just get rid of him. You know what I mean? Or Bray Wyatt, you know?
I think the other thing there is you run a different risk other than putting on a shitty product. I think the other risk that you run, and you can debate to what extent this ultimately matters, but like eventually your brand becomes toxic in the eyes of its fan base. And like we've said, yeah, the image issue, like we've said a couple of times in recent shows how like WWE is a company that makes it so hard to cheer for them. Like, regardless of your feelings about the product itself, they do things as a corporation that and as a business that make it just so hard as a fan to continue to support in any way. And it's just like, you hate that, but that is also the fucking reality. Like, clearing house the way that they do, or the way that they do and the way that they have several times over the last couple months, seemingly without warning, releasing huge names in the process, not only does it run the risk of destabilizing or making your product not very good, but it also turns your fans against you. And I think that relates to things like lower gates, lower merch, like... Wow. These things are all related because now, you know, regardless of your feelings about AEW,
as a company because they also make questionable corporate decisions and do a lot of fucked up things. They still provide a different option if you want to go to a wrestling event. And if it's just a televised show, having been to WWE TV in the last couple years and AEW TV in the last couple years, the AEW TV product is more enjoyable to go to live as a fan because of the way that AEW structures the show. We've talked about it before. Going to a taping for WWE is a chore because the way that the show is structured, they have so many moments where things happen, like wrestler makes entrance, 5-minute commercial break where wrestler literally stands in the ring and does nothing. Music hits as if wrestler literally just walked to the ring 5 seconds ago and nothing happened at all.
Right. So I think, and I know Rance, you probably want to get some time in here, but I just want to say, and I'll throw it over to you. I think WWE suffers, and if this is a real term, I don't know it. I'm just making it up right now because it popped in my head. I think they suffer from the Walmart effect is what I would call it. And I think we all suffer from that as consumers in general of anything. If you are familiar with Walmart, and I'm assuming most of our listeners are, Walmart is massive retail store.
Literally the, right? Like I can say, because it was mentioned on one of the news stories I showed my students today, the largest private employer in the nation.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. But think about Walmart, right? It is so convenient to go to Walmart. Because if you, especially if you live where I live, there's a fucking Walmart everywhere, right? Like, it is so easy.
Well, and if you live in places like where you and I live, well, not necessarily where I live. If you live in places like in large parts of middle America, that's all there is. If right. you live in some of these small ass one horse towns, that is the store.
Right. And so I think with that, what happens is we know, if you know enough about Walmart's corporate structure, shitty. Okay. They don't pay well. Benefits are shitty. If you're part-time, you get nothing. Like, I mean, Walmart is shitty, okay? However, it's very hard to boycott Walmart because it's so convenient. I understand, like, we all have principles and values and things like that, but it's basically like that with almost anything. Like, you have to – it's either, you know, how your values align. If I hate Walmart and the way they do their employees and I say I'm not going to Walmart anymore – in a lot of ways, why am I watching WWE? Because they treat their employees a lot of times in the same manner. And that accounts for a lot of other companies. We just, when you start thinking about corporations in general, you're going to find very few that do things in a way that make you proud to want to be, to consume that product or whatever it is. Yet, oftentimes, we find ourselves going there because it's convenient for us. There's a meme out there that's like, you guys have probably seen it before, where it's like a guy, he's walking, he's poor, he's got like a knapsack on his back or whatever. And he's like, I wish society was better or whatever. And this guy pops out of a well and he's like, yeah, you participate in society, strange or whatever. Basically, all he's saying is like, look, sometimes this is just the shit that we're dealt with. And we got to live in this. We still got to live in this society. It's very hard to make those choices, especially when smaller products or the mom and pops or the stuff like that are going to be more expensive. You know, maybe you're getting better quality. Maybe AEW is better quality, right? But maybe it's more difficult. Maybe they're not as accessible or whatever. I'm not saying that's the case, but that's an example I can use.
Sure, sure.
You know, and I think WWE suffers from that. We as fans suffer from that because they're the big dog still, whether we like it or not, in a lot of ways. And I think that is just one of those things where it's like, do I really cut the cord here? Like, because can we trust, like, AEW might be around a while, but can we trust all these other small wrestling promotions to stick around? Like, if I cut the cord on WWE and then, I don't know, AEW fails, well, then now I have no wrestling to watch. Or maybe I go, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's kind of, you fall into that pit a little bit. So sorry I spoke a lot there, but go ahead.
No, it's good to hear you fucking talk on the show. It's no easily accessible wrestling. I get you. When I think about the situation, what makes me, you said something, Kyle, that kind of like touched my antenna. And it was, you're talking about how the fans aren't going to want to support the brand in a certain way with the way they keep acting, right? Well, ultimately, from what WWE has shown us, they don't give a fuck because they're not they're not catering to that those fans, right? And I think of it like Marvel, right? And I know this is a there's many similarities, but this one may not be on the nose, but you get what I'm saying. I am a comic book purchaser. Like, currently, I still buy comics. And so there are many of these. Well, all
yeah,
of
they books. Announced a new Daredevil series is coming.
They did. And there's a new Sam Wilson Captain America. There's a lot. They're doing new shit, right? Which is dope. But all of these comic book properties, whether it's the Marvel movies, the Marvel shows, the DC movies, the DC
shows. And
show,
you can hear Rance talk about all of them on Bandwagon Nerds right here on the Chairshot Radio Network.
Hashtag journalism. Well done. But all of this stuff comes from, at some point, a story in a print comic. 90%, 85 to 90% of the people watching these things have never read that comic. Know nothing about that comic. So if Marvel was just to cater to the people watching who read comics, they wouldn't be making money. You know? And there has been some backlash. Michael B. Jordan casted as Johnny Storm. Well, we don't like it because not, well, a lot of it I'm sure was because it was a black dude, but because Johnny Storm isn't black in the comics. You know? Or Black Widow movie, Taskmaster was a woman. Who gives a fuck? He's the person's behind a mask. You never know who they are. But in the comics, Taskmaster was a man and things of that nature, right? Thanos didn't destroy the universe and get the Infinity Gauntlet because he was trying to get at Death, Lady Death. He did it because he wanted balance in the universe. Comic book fans would have their problems with that. And so I feel like, unfortunately, the way, like you said, the society meme, the way our society is listed, and the way capitalism is listed, and the way making money in large in this country is laid out, is that you cater to the masses and you don't worry about the people, the smaller. The IWC really is a small section of wrestling fans. And you know, I used to have this argue with
my good luck convincing them of that, but yes.
Well, they'll never listen. Well, I had this argument regularly with my good friend Chad Matthews, the Doc. And he hates this argument because it doesn't attack his issue with creativity. But there is no way they are making this money. And they are getting all these deals, not just in America, everywhere. The Europe deal, the India deal, the MENA deal that's going to be made everywhere. And people aren't watching. Their YouTube is top 10 in the world. Their TikTok is top 10 in the world. They have, of all quote-unquote sports league, they have the most Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter followers of all of them. That includes NFL. People are consuming the product. So I'm with you. Sometimes I hate the fact that I support this company. But what else am I going to do? You know, I hate the fact that I go to Chick-fil-A. I don't feel good about going there, but the chicken's fucking good. So it's like, what do you do in these situations? And I didn't mean to get that philosophical to start off the show, but I thought that interview was interesting because I'm a reasons person. Y'all know that about me. Stuff can't just happen for no reason. I need to know a reason for it. And it's always interesting to get into the mind of this dude who we know nothing about and see, even if it's just speculative. Why he's making, thank you, Mr. 5 Degrees. Why he's doing this shit. So,
no, but it is an interesting interview though, because like it also just shines a light on like, okay, but you're doing all of these mass releases of talent and like cutting the cord on a lot of people. And like, you know, we see rumors of things like, obviously it looks like Roddy Strong's wrapping things up and he'll probably go join the rest of them over in AEW. And like,
oh, no, he just resigned. He's there for another 3 years.
Oh, he did just resign?
He resigned before all the releases started happening.
Oh, well, good with that.
Yeah. But no, I'm sure some more of them probably are going to be gone, but no, Roddy's there for a while.
But like,
that's why he's been working in the main roster recently.
Either way, not the point. Point really just being, you know, they're doing all of these releases in the name of budget cuts, but then you have people like Ali who are asking for their release because they don't want to be there anymore, and they're sitting on it. Like, no, we're not going to do that. And it's just like, what the fuck is the, like, what the fuck is your problem? You're cutting bait on all these other people that don't want to go. I'm volunteering to leave with my big ass salary.
And Ali is such a unique situation too, because if you believe the reports that have been listed and the words that he said himself, if anybody knows anything about Mustafa Ali, his heritage, his nationality, and his religion are of paramount importance to him. And it matters how he is viewed. When he was younger, he was wrestling in some indie shows in Chicago, and he was playing the heel. Of course, most Middle Eastern people get given the terrorist or the whatever heel gimmick. And he saw kids in the crowd, and he had to question, are these kids booing me because I'm doing a good job at my character? Or are they booing me? And what am I teaching them by doing this? Which is why he had, for the overwhelming majority of his career, he had always vowed to say, I will not play heel. And if I do play heel, it's going to have nothing to do with my nationality, my heritage, or my my religious beliefs. And there was an argument. This was reported. You take that with a grain of salt, but it is from reputable people, the more reputable people, that him and Vince had a major blow-up fight because Vince wanted him to do something that he just didn't rock with. And directly after that argument, that big fight, he went on paternity leave. He asked for paternity. He asked for 1 week off because he had a child, and he's been gone ever since. So this is way bigger than, say, rest in peace to my boy Brody Lee, a Luke Harper situation who just ain't being used. Now this is a situation of a guy who's not being used, who's been underused, and I don't want to say mistreated, but not given things.
He had the worst timed injury ever, and then was just completely thrown aside when he came back.
But that's one thing. Remember, he was supposed to win Money in the Bank when Brock won. That was the last. That was a day of decision. He was scheduled.
That's what I'm saying. He was scheduled for that push. He got hurt, and then he was never really invested in ever again.
Yeah. So the Ali situation is interesting, because I agree with everything y'all are saying. But I think two things here. I think that it can go one of two ways. And I don't, once again, everything we say is going to be, we're speculating because we don't really know, you know, we get is reports and stuff like that. But the first thing I would say is that the only reason I could see WWE saying, okay, we're not going to release you, because surely it doesn't have anything to do with worrying that he's going to go somewhere else. Like, I just don't. If you don't give a shit, then what do you? You know what I mean? You can't say you don't care.
If they let Brian Danielson walk, they don't give a fuck.
Exactly. No. So my thought is this: it's one of two things. Well, it's just one thing, really. I have another thought. My thought on this is that they think that maybe if we keep him under contract for however long it is, I don't know, that maybe we can repair that relationship. Maybe whatever happened with him and Vince can be repaired. And if that's the case, sure. I get it. But sometimes, you know, as an employee, though, maybe to him it can't be repaired, you know? And so that's the thing. But I think to get back on our kind of the stuff we were talking about a little bit just a minute ago, I think once again, we go back to wrestling unions, right? Like these guys sign these contracts, and as much as it sucks, you signed on the dotted line, you know? And I don't want to be that guy who's like, man, you know, but like you said, yes, I agreed to be here for this amount of time. And because we don't have, there's no negotiations otherwise, you're stuck. And that's just, and WWE owns your rights. It's the same thing. The same shit happens in the NFL, all these other sports leagues where guys are like, Aaron Rodgers wanted to go. And they're like, no, we're keeping your ass. Like, you know, like, what do we own your rights. That's why you need negotiation tactics and things like that to protect you from bullshit like this, you know? And so that's the only thing I can really say in terms of the Ali situation. I feel for him. because I'm with him, and I'm, you know, I'm very much solidarity on things like that, you know, employee rights especially. But man, it's just a brutal, brutal situation, and it is odd why they pick and choose who goes, who doesn't. Some ask for their release and get it, some don't, and I think it has to do with them wanting to repair the relationship.
But this one feels different than the rest of them, right? Like, I remember when Pac, aka Neville, wanted out? Now, I was on WWE's side in the situation because he refused to quit. He wanted them to fire him. He refused to quit. So he went away. He just left. He just walked out, right? Brody Lee, Luke Harper, actually tried to quit, and they said no. Those are two different situations, right? In this situation, it feels different. Because Ali clearly wouldn't ask out, in my opinion, if we believe everything we've been told, if he wasn't so offended by what was given to him. And it's interesting because clearly Vince is either so old and senile or so in the bubble or so ultra busy and involved with everything that he's not paying attention or doesn't know. Ali has talked about that very story and those very pretenses and opinions and feelings on network television, and interviews on the show, the wrestling shows, and in documentaries on the network. So this isn't something that isn't a feeling that's random. And so sometimes to preserve a relationship, you gotta let a person go, because the more you push, and the more, and this may be a bad example to some people, but CM Punk is the king of that, right? If they would have never gave that dude his walking papers on his wedding day, which, however you feel about that is what it is, he may not hate this company like he does.
Vince's career is littered with proof of the fact that oftentimes you need a break from Vince McMahon in order to preserve your relationship with Vince McMahon.
100%.
Hogan needed a break with Vince McMahon. Hall and Nash needed a break. Bret Hart needed a break. Shawn Michaels needed a break.
Austin
needed a break. Rock needed a break. Like, everybody at some point or another in their career gets to the point where they need a break from Vince. They need a minute. They need some space to either go wrestle for another company or go try Hollywood or go do some other shit. Vince's career is littered with proof of that. Like, Vince is the kind of boss that, like, every couple of years, you're going to need to walk away.
So I think a little bit it speaks to maybe the value that they actually have with, you know, how they feel. But maybe Vince is the one that's out of the bubble. I think of the Dan Le Batard thing where he doesn't watch the show, you know, like, so he has no fucking clue what Ali may or may not have said about not wanting a terrorist gimmick or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But like, I get that, but maybe the company as a whole, and including Vince, you know, feel like Ali has a certain value. Maybe it has something to do with wanting to have a diverse roster. You know, I don't know. Like, maybe there's all kinds of underlying things there that can make you say, well, maybe that's why they're hanging on to him. Because outside of that, there's no reason to. It's not a ratings thing. It's not like Ali's going to go to AEW and all of a sudden they're going to win the ratings war.
If he did, you know? He still wouldn't give a fuck. He made a joke on an investor call that maybe we'll just give them extra people. He does not care.
Yeah.
But I do truly believe that people on his roster, Mustafa Ali is one of the people he respects and appreciates more than most. Because Vince has always said, I appreciate people who come to me and are a man. They talk to me. Scared isn't what I'm looking for, but you know what I'm talking about. They're not intimidated by me. Yeah. They can talk to me like you know, the way, you know, tell me how you really feel. Be honest with me. And Ali has done that. I also look at all the history of the people who's asked their releases. And right now, Brian Kendrick asked for his release, and he's not even a regular wrestler. You know what I'm saying? He's a NXT producer. Why won't you let him go? There is no rhyme or reason to the things that they are doing.
Yeah, no. At the end of the day, what makes it ultimately a shit look that they can't explain is you are releasing all sorts of talent in the name of budget cuts. So if you are cutting budget, why would you deny a talent's request to be released? That's really just what it all comes down to.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, no, I mean, I 100% agree. The only thing I can say to even counter is we don't always have the full story, no matter how much we would like to think that we do. You know, I mean, even the guys that report this stuff, you know, of course, you know me with the journalism anyway, on when it comes to wrestling journalists, but I mean, we don't always know everything. And that's all I got. I got nothing else. I don't have a good count, you know.
The only thing I can think that it can be for Ali, I can't speak for Kendrick because that's stupid, is that he wants to preserve the relationship and he's scared of a lawsuit.
Yeah,
could be.
That's the only thing I can think of. Because what other reason would you keep him?
Yeah.
No, that's fair. And on that note, y'all, we're going to take a quick break because we got to pay some bills. And then we'll come back with part two.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for helping us pay those bills, y'all. And while you're at it, you should go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and get you some of that sweet, sweet merch. Maybe a hashtag journalism shirt in that soft, soft style. Because it feels oh so very good on your skin.
I think so. I have a few.
And speaking of, you know, going and returning and taking breaks, Brother Rance, hit him with these, like, comeback rumors, because, like, I don't know how I feel about them, and I want to talk about it.
There were a few. There were a few comeback rumors. Clearly, one of the rumors is Bayley.
Girls, you better. Ding dong, hello.
I hope she's healthy, because I follow her Instagram, and she shows she's at the rehab center every day working on that knee, but I hope she's one of them. There have been two reports about Asuka and Kairi Sane possibly being in the Rumble.
Feels like time.
Asuka is down for Asuka for sure. I'd be shocked if Kairi comes back only because her contract just ended. She's free now. But the main one is maybe the biggest draw in the women's division history.
Becky Lynch is in the Royal Rumble?
Well, I mean...
Alexa Bliss?
Well, they both these people wrestled.
They resurrected China?
China wasn't no damn draw in the women's division. She was a draw in the men's division. Damn it.
God
she was
damn
a draw for
right
the whole damn
was.
Company.
You got
UFC Hall of Famer Ronda Rousey. Oh, she's Italian now? Okay.
Look, I'm just throwing shit out there.
It's been rumored to possibly come back, and WWE wants her back desperately. And she's been seen training, and of course, you know, she's an athlete. Travis Brown is still an active fighter, so I'm sure they work out. She just had a baby about a year and a half ago. But it may be time, dog. And if she comes back, we're about to preview the Rumble here in a sec. It changes everything.
I mean, number one, we said it a few minutes ago. Gates are down, ratings are down, merch is down, and she pushes those things. So, of course, mm-hmm. they want her back desperately. Mm-hmm. Number two, I said it, I think, last show that we had, Brother Rance. How many zeros?
All the zeros, bitch. Give them to me. Every single one of
them.
No,
but I'm just saying, like, because, like, when people are saying, oh, is she going to come back? Or why would she come back? She hated it or whatever. How many zeros are on this check?
Well, I guarantee you this. There's not five people in a company that can get more zeros than Ronda.
I'm just saying, Daddy Vince going back up to Brink's truck if he gotta, I guess. I mean, from a creative standpoint, do I care if she comes back? I mean, I don't really care. It does change everything because, like, if she comes back, then obviously she has to win the Rumble so that she can finally call out Becky and her and Becky can go one-on-one and do the whole thing. And I don't even know if I care about that. I don't even know if I care about that.
That's obviously what they'll say. He's so disgusted.
I'm not disgusted. I just don't agree with that. But yeah, that's fine. I'm not disgusted.
Right? I don't necessarily think it's the way that they should go. I just am basing it on the way that this company operates, and that's probably the direction they'll go in.
That's very fair.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I'm with you. I as far as Rousey goes, first of all, if Rousey comes back, I'm going to pop. Okay?
Like, you always pop for shocks like that. Yeah,
don't give a damn about your bad reputation.
Yeah, like, I mean, Rousey. But I do disagree that she would have to win the Rumble. I mean, you got to remember, you got two championships on the brands. Like, she doesn't have to win the Rumble to challenge Becky. That's not a thing.
Again, literally... I'm just operating the way that this company...
No, and it would not shock me by any stretch. But you could very easily say, oh, Becky sees her out... Say what?
Batista 2014.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. But, and you could... I mean, Ronda Rousey... would make much more sense than winning it than Batista did in 2014. You know, and Ronda's not pushing a movie or anything that I'm aware of. But at the same time, like, I will say, that's not a story you have to tell about her winning the Rumble. Becky could literally just be like, this bitch is back, and go out there and throw her ass out, you know? And be
I don't
like,
know.
No, would, you ain't, uh-uh.
It would be so fucking WWE. To shoot themselves in the foot, but also create their next mega face by having Bayley return in the Rumble, and everybody wants Bayley to fucking win, only to have Ronda Rousey win the fucking Rumble and have everybody hate it.
So basically, well, Batista in 2014 throwing out Roman Reigns. Yep. All right, got you.
Yep. Right. So as far as this goes, man, with Rousey, like, you're crazy. Like, you're not crazy. That's not fair. But I find it odd that people wouldn't want her back because she's good for the product in general. Brings more eyes, which is good. That's a good thing. If you're a wrestling fan, you want more people watching this shit, right? And there is an unfinished story there. She never got the one-on-one with Becky, like you just mentioned. And not to mention, she's actually good at wrestling. Like, shouldn't we want people that are – all I ever hear about is how, you know – these wrestlers in WWE suck, and it's not like they're not any good. And like AEW had the best wrestlers, and we watch it for the wrestling and the wrestling and the wrestling. Okay, well, Ronda's pretty fucking good. Last I checked, last I remember, she had pretty good matches while she was there. She got one of the biggest pops ever at her WrestleMania debut, and was awesome. The match might have been the best on the card. Like, her being back should excite people. Outside of maybe if you have any personal issues with Ronda, which I understand.
That's the problem with Ronda. Ronda's issue is that people don't like her personally. And Ronda has always been a person who hasn't been able to keep her game face on in the midst of real life controversy. So, right. Like, she lets her personal feelings and the fans can get at her. Like, you look at a heel like Baron Corbin, who... takes all the negativity he gets from the fans.
You mean Happy Corbin?
Happy Corbin now, but you know, yes. Well, yes. But he gets all the negativity and takes it and uses it as his character. Ronda, you can see it visibly affect her.
For sure.
So, yeah,
thin skin.
Yes, she's very thin skinned. And to your point about her she's a very good wrestler for somebody who's been wrestling for a year.
Yeah, I'm not saying she's, you know, fucking, I don't know, Sasha Banks or anything, but...
To be fair, she's a better wrestler than Dana Brooke.
Well, shit, I took one...
She's on par with a... I mean, she's at least on par with Alexa. I'm just saying.
Taking one bump in my life, and I'm a better fucking wrestler than Dana Brooke. So chill with that shit. She is.
I'm just saying. Ronda's at least as good, if not better, than Alexa.
Yeah. That's the minimum. But her ceiling is much higher because she's.
Oh yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, and I bring Alexa up because, you know, and I don't even bring her up to disrespect her the way that other people do. But Alexa Bliss is great proof that you can be mediocre as fuck at the wrestling part and still attain massive, massive success within the world of wrestling.
Facts. All facts. I am. This is the most interesting thing to me about the Rumble, which is probably why it's Carl's favorite pay-per-view.
Rumble season!
Yeah, because it's like, it's the surprise entrants that are just for fodder, right? Like, I sincerely doubt that Summer Rae and Kelly gonna do anything major in the Rumble. But it's cool to see them back.
Hardcore country!
Yeah, right? Mickey's gonna have a run, but she's not gonna win the damn thing. But then there's the people who come back who could win, who've been gone for a while, like Oscar or Bayley or maybe Ronda.
My only hope for that Women's Rumble, speaking of people coming back that like have been announced for the match, my legitimate only hope, Lita, don't break your neck, baby. Don't break your neck, baby.
She needs to get
Please hurt. Don't do a moonsault or a Lita Rana or like, no, don't do none of those things. Come in, pose. Very quickly get your ass eliminated and handle the headset, honey.
Well, she's going to be one of the favorites because her and Charlotte got a feud going on, so that's something. But also, it's the people who you don't expect to come back who could possibly be winners. And then it's the people who you expect who are going to be the top people, like Bianca or Rhea or Bianca or Drew.
Who eliminates more people this year, Bianca or Cesaro?
When we get there, when we break down the rump, Bianca clearly. But
I don't know, Cesaro's. I think Cesaro's due for an Iron Man run before he gets eliminated in like ridiculous fashion.
Not this year,
girl. That's why it's going to happen because you don't expect it.
Well, but it's interesting to me.
Yeah, no, I love the Rumble. We didn't even have to. I mean, I don't have to. I can't say it better than you just did. I mean, that's the surprise, and that's part of it. And it's the first, like, if I can go, I cannot watch wrestling for like 8 months. Like, after WrestleMania is over, I can like stop and be like, all right, fuck it, I'm out. And then the second I know it's Rumble time, all of a sudden I'm like, let me turn the channel on real quick. You know what I mean? Because that stretch from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania is, in my opinion, still the best thing about wrestling. That 2-3 month period right there, 8-9 weeks, whatever it is, to me will always be the best thing about wrestling, period.
You know what's the best thing about the Rumble is this year? Saturday, bitches!
That as well. I can watch on Sunday. I can still turn around and watch my NFL championship games.
So I don't even care about that. I just like being able to watch the entire show and like sleep late the next day.
No, I would do that anyway because I'm useless. I'll stay up all night. I don't care. But yeah,
I teach kids. I can't sleep late on a Monday.
Fair enough.
So speaking of Rumble season, Brother Rance, hit us with that Rumble.
So there are 4 matches on the undercard. Let's start off with the mixed tag match between the Grit couple and the It couple. Edge and Beth Phoenix are facing the Miz and Maryse. Who do you guys have?
They had a one-on-one yet?
Yes, the last pay-per-view.
Last pay-per-view was the first match between them, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. It couple wins. Blow off match at WrestleMania, both one on ones.
You guys are gonna love me because I actually watched Raw this week. So I know, and SmackDown on Friday. Like, I'm just fucking crushing it. Actually, you know, I go and hang out with a buddy of mine on Friday nights, and he always has it on.
You have friends?
You know, You'd be surprised.
Damn.
And he always has it on, and I just kind of like, we kind of watch a little bit while we're jibber jabbering or whatever. So I can up a little. I'm going to agree. I think a couple wins. I don't know, like, Miz and Maryse didn't, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't they also have a mixed tag against John and Nikki?
Yep.
A couple, however many WrestleManias ago.
33.
Like, give him a win. Like, you know, I know that Miz is a shithead and Maryse is, you know, also a shithead in terms
of. But they're also, like, incredibly lovable and everybody knows it.
Yeah. Like, I just feel like, you know, maybe the new season of Miz and Mrs. is coming or something. I don't know. But, like, maybe a blow off happens, but I'm down for them to just win and not be the end of it. Honestly,
it's just incredibly lovable people. Honestly, all four of them are just incredibly lovable people.
I'm excited to see Beth. You know, I like Beth. Beth's great. I mean, Edge is Edge, obviously. But yeah, I think it'll be, I like the it couple.
Edge and Beth win, and the feud is over. They may have one more match on TV, but Edge is gearing to a big match at WrestleMania. So, you know, I don't see them doing a mixed tag. If they were going to do the mixed tag, it would have been saved for WrestleMania. So the fact that they're doing it at the Rumble lets me know that this is going to be done. That feud is going to be done before Mania.
Also makes perfect sense. So,
yeah. But I would not be surprised if Miz and Maryse get to steal the win. The Raw Women's Championship match. Becky Lynch is defending against everybody's favorite terrible named wrestler, Doudrop.
Doudrop!
I love you, Piper, but you ain't winning this match. Next question.
Yep.
She ain't winning shit. Next.
Hey, but she got a mention on the outside.
Oh, but I love her. No, but I love her.
She's got a nice future in WWE.
Yeah, okay, she really does. Like, Doudrop, Piper Niven, call her whatever the fuck you want. I love her. Like, big girl can wrestle. She's charismatic. She's fun. But she ain't winning this fucking match.
No.
Oh, you'll like this, Kyle. Danhausen made his AEW debut tonight.
Oh, did he do it in the... He must have done it in the match between Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy.
It doesn't tell me how. I just got the alert that he made his debut. But that makes a lot of sense. You know what?
Like, it does make a lot of sense. Number one, he's had a low-key feud on Twitter with the Ass Boys forever.
That's just hilarious.
It is so fucking funny. But number two, love that Danhausen.
Do you know who the Ass Boys are, Carl?
It's Billy Gunn and his son, right?
No, okay, it's his two sons.
Well, because if Billy Gunn is the Ass Man, they clearly his kids are the Ass Boys.
Oh, Austin, okay. I didn't know he had two kids. My bad.
Yeah,
I didn't
they know. Are very close in age. I think Austin is like 24 and Colton is like around our age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so next, now we're getting into like prime real estate type stuff now here. The Universal Championship. Seth freaking Rollins now is facing the head of the table, the tribal chief, and the man on the shirt in which I wear who sets the table that I sit this at, Roman Reigns. Important to note, the Usos are banned from ringside. What you got?
Roman. Look, like that? It sucks that I can't say more, really, because it's like, okay, obviously you want to talk about the history and yada, 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 and Seth is fucking awesome. Like, you don't want to just be like, oh, fuck it. Seth doesn't matter here. He's losing. But he's not winning. Like, I don't know if Roman's losing at WrestleMania either, but he damn sure is going to be defending that belt at WrestleMania. Like, you don't have him hold the title this long to be like, you know what? I'm going to pull that strap off of you at the Rumble. Like, that shit ain't happening. So he's 100% winning. I would be shocked. The Usos are still going to somehow get involved, I'm pretty sure. And either that or maybe he just beats him clean because, you know, Seth has always beaten him as the thing, right? So yeah, maybe he just beats him clean. I don't know. But, Roman, for sure.
Kyle?
Seth Rollins is a great wrestler. I like Seth a lot. He ain't winning this fucking match. Next question.
I agree that
Roman. Look, man, wins. I'm just trying to give some commentary here, okay?
I agree Roman wins, but I do think that we are selling massively short how close this could be, because like you said, the only person who has regularly given it to Roman Reigns besides Brock Lesnar is Seth Rollins.
The match will be a banger, Period.
Oh, it'll be a great match.
Like, I'm looking forward to it. Like,
And there's a world in which if Seth wins this match, the next match, the WWE Championship, Brock Lesnar is defending against Bobby Lashley. If Brock wins and defends, Roman faces Brock for that championship. So there's a world here where Seth really could win the title.
Yeah, there is. I don't know if that's a transition into me picking the next match or
well,
not.
Well, it is. And for the record, Roman's winning the damn match. We know that. But just for the record, there's a world. Brock versus Bobby. Go ahead.
This one's actually tougher because while I do think Brock is going to win, this is tougher to me because usually you don't see world title changes at the Rumble very often. It's not like a thing. I feel like you could look that up historically and you wouldn't see just a ton of world title changes because they want the champion to be like, they want it to have like, you know, oh, it's Brock Lesnar, right? So are they going to go after Roman? Are they going to go after Brock? But Bobby's been as much of a threat, and this is a dream match. And also, Brock was shoehorned into that title match, the four-man, right? Because Roman had COVID.
Yeah.
So my only thought is if Brock retains, it changes like how I look at the Rumble, you know? So I'm kind of like, I feel like this is the one scenario where I could see Bobby Lashley, where I could see a world title change. Just because of that fact, like I feel like Brock and Roman, I don't think they're going to do some kind of unification thing. So I just feel like Brock's going to drop it and he's going to wrestle Roman at WrestleMania. That's where I'm at with that.
And to your point about title changes at WrestleMania, at Royal Rumbles, the reason they normally don't do them, in my opinion, is because the title matches aren't the draws. The Rumbles are.
Sure. Good. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
what's the point of doing it when it's not going to be the main thing you remember?
Well, you can open with that match. I think if they do open, I think Brock will drop it. But if they don't open, then I think you probably got to say Bobby is going to lose. But I like Lashley maybe here, I think.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Roman is somehow responsible for Brock Lesnar losing this match. Whether it's Roman gets the Usos to do it, whether it's Roman gets Paul to do it, whether it's Roman intimidates someone into restarting. Like, I don't know how it's going to fucking happen, but Roman Reigns is going to make sure that Bobby Lashley walks out of that arena with the WWE title.
Once again, we all are in agreement. Bobby Lashley would be your champion. And this match, like, I know we all know this is scripted and whatnot. This match means everything to Bobby. It is the sole reason why he came back to WWE.
Yeah. Looking forward to this one too.
Yeah, and Brock is showing himself to be a person that, like, he'll look out for somebody when it matters to them. That's like he did with Goldberg.
This is big meaty men slapping meat right here, bumping meat or whatever. This is a dream match for real. But just in general, like, I just want to see them beat the shit out of each other. I'm here for it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, give these guys like 15 minutes of just massive meatiness. Okay, which Rumble are we going over first, the women's or the men's?
Let's go over the men's first. We'll let the women have the final billing because they'll probably not be the final match of the night.
Yeah, good point. So here is who the people who are announced for the Rumble, okay? Johnny Knoxville, yes, from Jackass.
He's going to win.
Well, then that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. So Knoxville, Austin Theory, Ray and Dominic Mysterio, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, Sheamus, the United States champion Damian Priest, AJ Styles, Big E, Kofi Kingston, Sami Zayn, Madcap Moss and Happy Corbin, Kevin Owens, Omos, Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode, Randy Orton and Riddle, Otis and Chad Gable, the tag team champions. And then there were eight superstars that have not been announced. So those eight surprises, which I'd imagine is like Tommaso Ciampa and maybe Bron Breakker and Gunther or whatever it is. But all right.
God, that's such a fucking dumb name.
Walter ain't much better. But yes, Gunther.
I mean, you're right. It's not. But
let's not get on that tangent at all, because
I've talked about that too many damn times. Yes.
No, I ain't here to talk about it, because like we're all on the same page about it.
Yes, 100%. Two questions. Who wins and your final four?
Three questions. Throw an Iron Man in there as well.
Well, it's not Cesaro.
Kyle, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
You can go first.
Okay, so I actually think I'm just picking off of bias, but also because the guy has been like just banger after banger after banger, like for the last year and a half, 2 years now. Not going to win, probably not even Final Four, maybe Final Four. Iron Man, Sheamus. I think he's going to get a nice long run in this Rumble, throw a lot of fucking people out, and get eliminated at some point. So that's my Iron Man. As far as Final Four goes, Kevin Owens, Big E Langston. Oh, fucking hell. I don't know. Like, it just gets hard after this. Like, I got two in my head automatically, and it's like, I don't know. Randy Orton, he's always seemed to be a good Final Four choice, although that's like three Raw superstars. I'm just throwing out there. How about Happy Corbin? Maybe he gets a nice long, he's a Final Four, because I think Kevin Owens is going to win. That's my choice. I don't have a great prediction for this one because I haven't been keeping up with the stories and stuff like that, but like, I just kind of feel like anybody could win this one. But because I think Brock is dropping the title, and I think he's going to go after Roman, I don't think you need a SmackDown superstar to win the Rumble. Owens is Raw, right? Like, I'm not crazy, am I?
Okay. Owens is Raw, yes.
Yeah, so I think a Raw superstar is going to win to go after Lashley. So I like Owens.
Carl thinks Owens was promised a Royal Rumble win to re-sign with the company.
Hey!
How many zeros, sir?
How many?
Yes, how many zeros? He got a lot, apparently.
My Iron Man is, it's a conspiracy, damn it, Sami Zayn. Not because he actually Iron Mans, but because he somehow gets knocked, like, under the middle rope or some shit early in the match and, like, pulls one of those bullshit sneakaroos where he just, pulls, like, creep ass.
Santino, yeah, Santino.
Yeah, just creeps his ass back in about an hour into the match.
And he's going to eliminate Johnny Knoxville. We better fucking eliminate. Everyone would be pissed.
No, like, he's going to be eliminated. Like, let's be honest. He'll be eliminated by Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah, yeah, but if he's the Iron Man, that means how long is Knoxville in this fucking thing?
No, Knoxville's going to get a late number.
Oh, yeah, like 29. Here comes Johnny Knoxville. He could be the next WWE champion.
Yeah, but the final four are... Kevin, Big E, Corbin, and in all seriousness, though, I will put Sammy in my final four. I think Big E will win.
That was my second thought. It's that I thought Big E as well. Like, it's, you know, a reward for dropping the title when he probably wasn't going to.
I think the way that it'll work is, so Corbin will get eliminated, and then Kevin and Sammy will team up on Big E, only for Big E to overcome the odds and take out the soulmates.
I like it.
All right, y'all ready? Y'all ready for my ridiculousness?
My soulmate, Sami Zayn.
My Iron Man is Montez Ford.
All right, then. Is he finally going to break away from Angelo Dawkins?
I think this is where he shows everybody that, yeah, it's on the way. My final four is, of course, Big E, is AJ Styles, is Austin Theory, and Montez Ford.
All right.
And my winner is Montez. No, I'm joking. It's Big E. Yeah. No, Big E wins. This is Big E's time. Yeah, it's Big E's time to get that big match, that big thing, that big title win at WrestleMania, and go ahead and show the world that, you know, big meaty men slapping meat deserves a main event at WrestleMania.
Definitely here for it. That's for sure.
Women, y'all ready?
Yeah.
Well, we have to start, of course, with man, this just feels like it's going to be so much like 2020. Because the first person I'm mentioning in this Rumble is the SmackDown Women's Champion, Charlotte Flair. And then after that, we have Rhea Ripley, Nikki A.S.H., Nikki and Brie Bella both in there. Shout out to Nikki getting healthy and cleared, because I thought she'd never wrestle again. Shotzi Blackheart, Natalya, Michelle McCool, Dana Brooke, the Women's Tag Champions Carmella and Queen Zelina, the Impact Knockouts Champion Mickie James, Tamina Snuka, Kelly Kelly, Aaliyah, Summer Rae, Naomi, Shayna Baszler, Lita, Liv Morgan, and Bianca Belair.
I'll go first this time.
Okay.
My iron person is Bianca. Okay. My final four are Charlotte, Bianca, Sasha Banks, and Ding Dong, hello, Bailey. And I got Bailey winning.
I like so, it. Okay, I got Iron Woman. I've got, I also have Bianca. I like Charlotte will get close, but I think, it, like you said about 2020, I feel a very Brock Lesnar situation going on there, where she gets eliminated kind of midway through after kind of dominating the early going.
Yep.
So but my final four is going to be Bianca, Naomi, Alexa Bliss, and Liv Morgan. That's the final four. And I'm going to pick Alexa Bliss to win it. I think the goddess. I feel like that's where we're headed, and so I just feel like it's you can get behind her if I'm Owens is kind of like a tweener, I guess, right now, and Bliss with her old character, I feel like it's a perfect opportunity to get the fans behind her as a babyface winner, maybe here. So I kind of like, I like Bliss. Naomi strikes me as someone that I feel like they could pull the trigger on, but I'm not totally sure about that. Like,
I'm
going to
judge a lot based on what happens on Friday.
Yeah.
Great point.
Might be like the last one eliminated. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I'm at. Or maybe Bianca, close to a repeat, but yeah.
If she finally gets to have the actual match with Sonya and finally gets to, like, bury that story, then I could see her having a decent showing in the Rumble.
You know what's funny? I'm the exact opposite. I can see her having a great showing in the Rumble, and then Sonya not basically no selling her, costing her the spot, costing her from winning. Because apparently Sonya's living right now to make Naomi's life hell.
I love the storyline, but at the same time, I feel like it's gone too long without Sonya explaining her why.
Agreed. Completely.
Like, it's a great story, and the way that they slow burned it in the beginning was awesome. But at this point, as the authority figure, you need to have given me more than, well, she just hasn't earned it. What has she not done to earn it, bitch? Like, I need you to, like, be concrete. And if it's petty, that's okay, because you're the fucking heel. So, like, just give me your petty bullshit reason why.
Agreed. Completely. Completely agreed. You're spot on there, because, yeah, this has gone so long, and they barely ever touch. She's not allowed to do anything. Naomi can't stick up for herself, and we don't know why Sonya got so much beef. Great point. So I agree with Carl in that I think Charlotte gets thrown out early. I think she has a similar to Brock Lesnar thing, although I don't think it's going to be everybody. If one person gets in the Rumble, they get thrown out. So Charlotte's not in my final four. My Iron Woman isn't going to be Iron Woman in the sense of, I think Bianca throws out the most people again, but in terms of longevity, I think Liv Morgan is the Iron Woman for this Rumble. Okay. Because that's the accolade that she can take going forward, right?
Yeah, I like that.
My final four, of course, is going to be Bianca. It's going to be Bailey. It's going to be, you've talked me into the Naomi thing because of Sonya trying to screw her. And I am going to say, I want to say Rhea, but I feel like she'll get thrown early. Fuck it. Lita. All
right, then.
A legend makes sense. That happens. Michelle McCool did it, I'm pretty sure. Didn't she? Wasn't she a final four?
In the first one, yeah. I'll tell you this, though. All this is under the assumption Ronda's not in the Rumble. If Ronda's in the Rumble, everything changes. But I have Bianca winning and Bianca finally getting that one last match with Becky at WrestleMania and overcoming. If Ronda wins, fuck everything I just said. If Ronda's in it. Yeah.
Well, fuck everything we all just said.
If Ronda if Ronda's in it, she wins. We know that. We ain't done.
I completely agree. Last Rumble thoughts, gentlemen. Anything on your mind? Anything you're hoping to see? Any surprises you expect or want to see? Apparently the mini Forbidden Door is open. Vince, if you give me Jay White in this Rumble, I will look past all the fucking releases. I swear to God.
If Okada shows up, I'm down. Okay? That's it.
He has said he wants to wrestle so many WWE guys. I mean.
There you go. Did he say his dream match was Triple H or something?
Triple H is one of his dream matches, yes.
I'm willing to compromise. I'm willing to settle. I'm willing to take Ace. If Ace shows up, I'll be all right.
This is
Tanahashi?
Yeah.
This is what I would like to see.
Hold on real quick, Carl. I thought you were saying Ace Austin. I was like, really? From Impact?
Girl.
Johnny Ace is what he meant.
That's even worse. That's even worse. Give me Ace Austin. Sorry.
Hey, you know you're such a Johnny Ace, Mark, Kyle. No, so this is what I actually want to, like, I would want to see. You know you want NXT guys, hopefully, in there, maybe a couple. I do 100%. I will be very happy if we see Braun Breaker and Gunther in there. I would like to see both, but give me one of those two, and I'm down. I'd like to see Braun Breaker get in there and do some shit. Same thing with Walter. Maybe he gets in there and gets face-to-face with someone like Omos. You know, something that feels big. You know what I mean?
My only fear with putting him in now. He'd be perfect for the fucking Rumble. They're in a dome. Will he get the response they want him to have? They're not in the rest. I mean, St. Louis is a wrestling town, so forgive me for being blasphemous, Harley Race and all these people. But it's not a modern wrestling town.
Right. It's not Chicago.
You know what I'm saying? It's not a smart town.
No, you know who I do expect to see, like, kind of legit, like, and he'll get a way bigger pop than he deserves because, like, come the fuck on. Zack Ryder.
You think he's in this bitch? Okay. Mr. GCW, you think shows up? All right.
Fuck him.
I mean, fuck Ryder, but, like.
I gotta tell you, it's still fuck Matt Cardona, but he has become maybe one of the best things in wrestling right
now. But you know what he is proof of? He is perfect example of what we say all the time. Yeah, the biggest jobber in WWE is instantly the biggest star in your fucking company.
I remember when the first releases happened and Brian Myers, aka Kurt Hawkins, went to Impact and went on a winning streak. And I was like, the dude that lost 170 matches in a row?
They pushed him towards the main event and shit.
We all know he's a really good wrestler. Eric Young immediately went to the title picture. He debuted in the title match.
Heath came in as the, air quotes, hottest free agent in the game, baby.
And this is no disrespect, because all these guys are great hands and whatnot. But it goes
they
to show
are, like but that. It's just, you know, the biggest jobber in WWE is instantly the top name in your company.
I got one. We're all going to hate it. You're going to hate me. But I'm going to say it anyway. I don't know if this is going to happen, but I would not be surprised. Bill Goldberg. Now, I don't think he won't win, and I don't even think he'll be in the final four, but I think he'll show up to lead to his final match, whether it's in Saudi or at WrestleMania, because he has one more match left on his contract.
Can I get Jonathan Gresham instead?
Well, for the Rumble, Goldberg, fine, whatever.
I love John
it's
Gresham.
It's a joke.
Look, people listening really believe that. They're like, yes, please. Man, look, I want to do a poll of, like, a live wrestling, like, live WWE show. Like, I want to poll, I wish I could poll the people, all 50,000 people at the Dome in St. Louis, and ask them, do you know who this man is? And show them John Gresham. And it's not a diss, because I think he's fantastic and is one of the best wrestlers in the world right now. But I'm curious to know if they know who the fuck he is.
Isn't he also like the Muggsy Bogues of professional wrestling? Isn't he like
super, he's short as fuck. Yes, he's like 5'4". Yeah. Like Daniel Bryan is bigger than him.
I mean, he's still winning at life, but you know.
World champion of Ring of Honor. He runs Terminus and he got Jordan Grace. He's, yeah.
And on that note,
a Hall of Famer in my book.
Oh, one more thing, Kyle. This isn't a segment, but I'm going to make it just for today. Best thing I saw this week, Ali J's titties on NXT. Heyo!
You're nasty. And on that note, you can find me on Twitter at Dr. S'mores. You can find Carl on Twitter at
Outsider Kervin, K-E-R-V-I-N. I'm still there.
You can find our good brother Rance at Twitter at
Ali J's titties. Or it's Ray Cash, R-E-Y-S and Mysterio, C-A-S-H-S and Dollars. You should have seen them things. My God.
I'm banging. Super gay. Like, I'm about to go to bed with my boyfriends. So.
You'd appreciate them, though. Like, you don't have to feel the same way in your loins, but you'd appreciate them.
They were set. You know what I mean? Like, they were,
y'all are nasty. You can find the show on Twitter at OutsidersEdgeCS. We are part of the Chairshot Radio Network at Chairshot Media. Where you
always have big titties and use your head for all the people who are offended by this. I apologize truly.
All right.
And then at the end of the show, I'm gonna say, fuck it. I don't care. But like now I apologize.
Tiggle bitties, whatever. And as always, y'all, we here at the Outsider's Edge and some increasingly less young gentlemen doing everything we can trying to make it out here in this world. And sometimes we're going to hit you with that important news. Like, if somebody tells you they want out, you should release them.
Like today.
And other times, we're going to hit you with that current news. Like, it's Rumble season and it's over the top.
Like titties. I'm sorry. It's like, I know this is bad. I'm a child. I know.
But no matter what, y'all, we're just out here chasing our dreams. And you have got to respect that. Because if you don't, well, just like Anna Nicole Smith, we sure don't give up. Fuck!
That's a deep fucking cut, Kyle. Fuck them, but wow.
You mentioned titties. I thought Anna Nicole.
It goes to show how fantastic you are in your gayness that that's the person you went to.
Girl, she an icon. Rest in power.
My goodness. Yeah, bye, y'all.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.